Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Access Astrology. My name is Ann Ortley. It is a bright and dark night here in New York. The crescent moon going towards a new moon on Friday as Mercury stops in the sky. I'm sitting here at the bright red desk, and this is Access Astrology, and we are three astrologers who love our work. And I am joined right now by Heather. You're out there.
Hi, this is Heather Rowan Robbins speaking to you from Ronan, Montana, where it is cold and blustery and looking like Halloween tonight.
Ooh, we like Halloween. One of my favorite holidays. Yeah, we have a great parade in New York, which is probably going to be canceled this year because everything else has been.
Oh.
Which is so good. It's Halloween. You know, one year I went
Such
and I dressed up. They used to advertise in this newspaper called The Village Voice, which has also disappeared. And one year I went, and I went as a slice of bread.
Oh, that's wonderful.
I was part of a loaf.
I went once as a Baltic sun goddess. It was lovely.
Yeah, it's a really good parade. It's a really good parade.
It is a really, and anybody can join in and be their gloriousness. So you were part of a loaf?
I was part of a loaf, you know.
Oh, how
exciting. They needed slices. Uh-huh. You had to show up. I don't remember where it was. We had to show up, like, somewhere in the village. And my friend was like, you want to be part of a loaf? And I'm like, okay. So off we went. You know, we were part of we were two slices and a loaf of bread. It was good. It worked really well. So we had a good time. But it was kind of a long parade. It runs on for a long time. So
yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it was fun.
I remember good shoes were an important part of that.
Yes, good shoes were an important part. And of course, as a slice of bread, you had to have like clothes underneath because it was, you know, it was the end of October. It was a little chilly here in New York. So
yeah.
Yeah, so Mercury stationing in Scorpio, the sign we think of as Halloween, because, you know, the sun's in Scorpio when we have Halloween. And, of course, it is the cross-quarter day, so the veils are thin between the two worlds. But, yeah, so we're heading forward. We're heading towards the end of October, 90 miles an hour, now that Saturn and Pluto and Jupiter are all going direct. And Mars, of course, is still going retrograde. But the big guys are all moving forward. So we're going to feel Pluto just start to go like creaky legs, but he's going to pick up speed. And Saturn's pulling away from him, heading towards Aquarius. And
Hallelujah.
Pulling forward. He's going to meet Pluto one more time on November 13th, and then he's going to go meet Saturn in December. So you should know what you're doing. You are resolved into a new place, ready to roll. So it's good.
Well, you might have that as a background of the structures, but how are you going to get there from here may be still unknown with Mercury heading retrograde. It's stationary almost still tonight. Trying to do anything today, everything kept getting left someplace else, and I had to do everything like 10 times. It was so Mercury stationary. And today and tomorrow, the sun moves into that T-square with Pluto, Saturn, and opposing Mars.
Right.
So there's this kind of feel those struggles, you know. That's, again, if you know what you're doing, you've got a clear answer. You can use that irritating energy as your combustion engine to get you there.
Mm-hmm.
But watch those power struggles playing in the news.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
mm-hmm.
as Mercury in Scorpio is retrograde, is begin maybe revealing some hidden machinations, because Mercury in Scorpio can really be Machiavellian. And I hear that that there were false ballot boxes put out in California to collect votes from people that were dropping them off and then to be gotten rid of. So,
oh, wow.
Check your – that kind of thing comes out with Mercury retrograde.
Right, the secret
and it was
and Mercury
apparently
rules
done
ballots.
By a
Mercury rules
GOP
ballots,
operative.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's good to find out where your ballot boxes are for your county, the official ballot boxes, and make sure you use those.
Yeah. Well, that's a weaselly thing to do, fake ballot
Isn't
boxes.
Isn't that a weaselly thing to do? Yeah. Fake ballot boxes.
I'm always like, when they don't want you to have something, you have to go, so why don't you want me to have my vote? What's that? Why are you afraid of that? It's just one of those things when someone goes, well, you know, you don't really – like, really? Why don't I want – I'm Aquarius rising. I'm like, you don't think I want that? I want to know why you don't think I want that, you know? And it's kind of like, yeah. And with the sun going through this, squaring the COVID planets, he's also going to be opposite the Mars. And so that is very much, of course, Libra, you know, moon is, sun is in Libra, answering to Venus and Virgo. So we have a woman being confirmed and answering to Mercury and Scorpio. So, you know, Mercury and Scorpio can either go to the Mars retrograde in Aries, or it can go to the Saturn-Pluto in Capricorn, right? And so, you know, this is us. You know, Mars retrograde, you're going to let your rights be taken away, retrograde. Saturn, Capricorn, you know, what's the structure? How are we doing it? What's going on? So I'm a little optimistic that these hearings are starting on a Mercury retrograde stationing.
Yes.
Because it's kind of like,
they
you know.
Hold still.
Hold still. Let's see what's going to happen. And, of course, you know, it said something like 67% of the American people think these should be held after the election. So let's go, you know, call your senators, because that's how it stops. Call your senators and complain, you know, and red states, too, because you guys get abortions. Blue states get abortions. People, there was a senator, I was turning into this show, who popped on and said, was talking about his family's abortion. I think it is, you know, Pete Buttigieg had a great statement the other day, you know, late-term abortion. He said, you know, if it's happening at that age, at the latest time, let's reframe it. That person has carried that child for months wanting to bring a child into the world, so there's something going on. And it really is a decision that women should make with their physician, their family in mind and their physician in mind, whether it's a danger to the mother's life or it's a danger to the child has some really big abnormalities. It's going to be born and die, you know. I mean, we have to kind of look, we have to be a little less judgy, you know. And as Kamala said to Judge Kavanaugh, so is there any medical procedure that the government regulates for men? And he kind of went, what? You know, and it is. I mean, it's a private thing. You know, it's like, keep your stuff out of my vagina and my uterus and my, so, but whatever. Mars retrograde.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. And and we will be seeing more of that. But one of the things that I see with, as Jupiter sextiles Neptune, the question of, you know, how important spirituality is on one aspect, but how much it needs to stay out of our politics. You know, I always, you know, playing with the golden rule, which is so hard for America to do, it seems, these days, but if we had someone who was appealing to be on the Supreme Court who was as fervent in their belief in Islam and Sharia law as this woman is in Catholicism and the in quotes Christian laws, I wonder if, or was the same to the belief of any other religion other than Christianity, would be, and they put those laws ahead of the laws of the land, would we vote for them? Would we allow them in? And so that it feels like coming back to that, are you able to really be objective in your application of this law, and rather than do your opinions match mine? And, you know, Judge Roberts has done a good job, I have thought. I was worried about his conservative beliefs, but I see him as working really hard to really stick to the letter of the Constitution.
Yes.
And that, I've been very impressed by his fairness, not his liberalism, not his conservatism, but his legal fairness. And that's what I'm looking for in this next phase.
Yeah, because she's already said, I'm going to be Scalia. And I'm like, no, you shouldn't be Scalia. You should be yourself. Who are you?
Right.
You know, who are you? Tell us who you are. Don't tell me you're a carbon of copy of Scalia. What does that mean to me? Who are you? You're going to be on the court for 40 years. Who are you? Tell me who you are. Not Scalia's handmaid. Not Scalia's accolade. Not Scalia's follower. Who are you? Who are you? Yeah. So we have a full moon, new moon.
A new moon coming up in Libra. That's very exciting.
In Libra. And the new moon is at 22, 23, the same degree, Heather. As where
Pluto,
we're,
and it's right in there. It's moving
right
into
in
an
there.
Exact square with Pluto. It's right between its square to Jupiter,
mm-hmm.
and its square to its opposition to Mars, and
mm-hmm.
then it
mm-hmm.
squares
mm-hmm.
Pluto and on the new moon. So
yep.
that, you know, the new moon begins a cycle. It's lovely in Libra, fairness, justice, equity, squaring all of that. And so it's going to be interesting
Venus
to see how that.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Venus and Virgo
uh-huh.
can be a little, but, you know, she's also Venus and
Pardon
Virgo.
Me?
She's trying to improve things, right? Yeah.
Right. She always works to improve things. And she's always got ideas on how you should improve, too. That's the,
yes,
the gift and the challenge of Venus and Virgo, which I can say because I have Venus and Virgo and
yeah,
Mars and Virgo. And Virgo.
Yeah, I was illustrating this in a podcast I did the other day, 2 weeks ago. And I was saying Venus and Virgo, it's, you know, a comments on your approval, what you do. And so the woman had a yellow shirt on, and she's got highlighted hair, so her hair kind of blended into the shirt. And I said, so like your shirt there, you're yellow, it blends into your hair, so you can't really see your hair. And so she was a little offended, but I explained that's Venus and Virgo, I'm trying to improve it, right? So then today
uh-huh.
she shows up in a black shirt, and I go, yeah, so like last week I criticized it, so now I'm going to say, you know, black, really, it's a little severe for you, you look better in your pastels. Because Venus and Virgo does that kind of thing, right? So, and she said, well, I wore black for you. I said, yeah, I know. But, you know, you look better in color, like red. And she said, I've got red flowers behind me. I'm like, I know. They look really nice. Match your flowers.
mm-hmm.
So we want to watch the Virgo because it is a little critical. And I will say people are really reacting. And they're also showing their biases because Venus and Virgo is very biased. You know,
mm-hmm.
so I had somebody call me a baby boomer, and you baby boomers need to leave. And I'm like, hey, just because I have a good astrology practice and you're a wannabe, don't go telling me that stuff, right? I'm like, don't tell me I have to leave. Go away. Who are you? You know, it's understanding everybody's sensitive to what's being said right now. And you may say I'm a boomer, and I go, well, you're a brat. You know, it's like understanding everybody's a little testy with the Mercury in Scorpio. And
Mercury
in Scorpio has
fingers. And Mars in Aries. Everybody's
yes.
a little testy.
Everybody's a little
and
testy.
And to start off with, you know, to break that cycle is how do I honor what you're bringing to this table?
Right.
Because if I criticize, you're criticizing of me criticizing of you criticizing, it's just going to go around.
Round and
I've
round
been
and
there,
round.
Done that. Yeah, it doesn't go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
How do you stop and say, wait, what value are you bringing to the table?
Right.
This is what I'm bringing to the table.
Right. Yeah, and I think even though the tension aspects are over, the hard aspects, everybody's coming out of this energy wired because
they all
got fueled up, right? And Mars is going backwards, so he's not forgetting. He's just stewing about it until
right.
he stations and goes direct on November mm-hmm. 13th. And then he comes back for a third round. You know, I was thinking about what you said. You know, and everybody goes, "Oi, you're back again?" Yeah,
third pass hopefully can reconcile some stuff. But that Mars-Saturn square is such a describes a generation gap.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
it's the Saturn, the old pontificating but wise age and the young whippersnapper that can boldly explore where no one has explored before, but also can cut themselves off from the body of knowledge that is.
Right.
And
right.
how do we, you know, when the two work together, it's unstoppable.
Right.
When the elders can say, here, I have this body of wisdom, let me hand it to you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I really see this on the reservation here because
mm-hmm.
elders are so deeply appreciated. They're not always agreed with, but
right.
they're always honored and listened to.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
and that you can honor and listen to someone without agreeing to them.
Mm-hmm.
And that right now you can look at, you know, the powers that be are so out for themselves and unreliable
mm-hmm.
that it's deepening the generation gap. It's hard
mm-hmm.
to trust any elder when this big bunch of public elders is acting so badly.
Right,
you know,
right,
and
right.
you see, like, just die, just go away, and nothing's going to get better. But that's that Saturn-Pluto conjunction this year
mm-hmm.
in that so many elders have died. We've
mm-hmm.
lost huge
mm-hmm.
amounts of reserves of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
We, you know, so many, you know, elder musicians have died.
yep.
elder statesmen, I mean, wisdom keepers
yep.
in the process. But we've also seen people be kind of horrified and ready to reject teachers that have not proven worthy, or people, you know, old wisdom bases that were limited and now need to be expanded. Mm-hmm. Not thrown out, but expanded.
Right. Right.
You know, and woken up and shifted and changed so that they are more inclusive.
Mm-hmm.
That's wonderful. And we're going to see that when Saturn goes into Aquarius and Jupiter goes into Aquarius. Less of a structural gap and more of like, how do we open this circle up? How do we make this big enough so we hear each other?
Right, right, right.
That's what my hope.
Yeah, and I think also when we're looking at the different groups, you know, and understanding, you know, each generation, there's what we call generational planets, which are Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto. And so those mark generations coming in and going, okay, you know, what do we want to do? So I had one of the guys who kind of studied with me, not really, I used to do that class at Access on Tuesdays.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When you started with us, and he once said to me, he goes, well, you know, I don't study with anybody over 30. And I kind of looked at him and I said, well, you're studying with me. And he goes, well, you're different. And I'm like, okay, that's good. But I'm like, you're really missing a lot of things if you don't study with anybody over 30. Like,
mm-hmm.
I get it, but that's not, you know, there's a knowledge base out there you're missing. And he, mm-hmm. hump, you know, and he left. He's an Aries. And then I got an email from him, probably about a year later. And he goes, you know, you're like a really good predictive astrologer. And I said,
yeah.
He said, oh, like a lot of people aren't. They don't know how to do predictions.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, yeah. And he goes, well, when you do a prediction class, I'd like to take it.
Maybe
and I
he's
said,
learning.
Okay. You know, but I mean, it was that. Like, I abandoned you and left and gone off. You're, you know, I'm only going to study with the under 30. And then, like, you're missing a whole bunch of people that know a lot of stuff. And then circle back and say. Yeah. I mean, but that's the knowledge. We you know, we have to look at it and kind of go, you know, and understand that they have a vision. They know stuff. And, you know, and my millennial assistant speaks to me regularly about things I should know more about, which I find very helpful.
Yep,
but it
I have
isn't something.
Daughter and
it
granddaughter
isn't,
for that. Yep.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's how it helps. You know, we get there by the younger people teaching us. So that's also us learning from
and
them.
I absolutely agree. I used to see this on the board, the NCGR board, and in Minnesota. And we had an older group and a much younger group.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got there, and I could never figure out how to quite break this, the older group was like, oh, we can't respect you until you respect us. And the younger group was, we can't respect you until you respect us. And each one kept holding out for the other one to give them the respect they needed to open the doorway. And I thought, well, you know, it's like, how do we break this cycle and pour a bucket of respect on all and say, everybody's got something to offer, listen.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
And then, you know, all of our worlds are opened up.
Right, right, because we're actually looking at it from different perspectives. Yeah.
Right. Speaking of which, different perspectives, you want to take a call or two?
Sure. Just the last part, just Heather mentioned the Jupiter-Neptune sextile. It's the third of three. So that's important for you to really firm up the stuff. We've had two passes already, and this one, Neptune's still going retrograde, but Jupiter's like, okay, I'm going to get started on the dream. Ready? And it is an opening, closing sextile, so it's harnessing the dream, but it also is saying, wrap up, here it goes. So it's a forward motion to the next chapter. And I think it's really important for all of us to take a little time on this moon after all these turbulent, turbulent aspects with Pluto back in January and Saturn back where he was in March and Jupiter back where he was in March, and to kind of go, look at how much has changed in your life since January and March. Did you even have a clue it was going to be like this? And now that you're here, what have you learned? Where are you going? What's next? And that's the forward motion part. We're still not done clearing the land, but we're looking and going, yeah, time for a new view, time for a new way of looking. So let's take some colors.
And another thing, practical thing about the Jupiter Neptune, you know, it's lots of spirit and all lots of dreams, but it's also lots of water. We look at the floods down in the Gulf. And whenever you see a question that is there going to be a flood, or, you know, what, I spilled my coffee 3 times today. I mean, just watch for the slosh of liquids as you have Mercury stationary. Well, there's lots of water. So it could be something quite practical, like how you spill your water glass, or it could be floods from a storm. Just keep an eye on it.
Right. Yep. Sounds like a plan. All right, so... let's take a caller. Hi, 202-281. You're on the air. How can we help?
Hey, ladies. March 5th, 1980.
March 5th, 1980. Time?
1:29 a.m.
1:29 a.m. Place?
Philly.
Philly. All right.
1:29 a.m. in Philadelphia.
Philadelphia Freedom. And what is your question, Miss Philadelphia?
Tell me something good.
I'm curious about the new. Tell me something good.
I think it's close to my right, because I'm feeling,
yeah, you are.
I think it's close to my moon. Yeah, I don't. It feels.
It's amazing. Right on your moon. Yeah.
Yeah, the new moon. The new moon coming up is right on your moon.
Plus Pluto's square in your Pluto moon. Yeah. You're feeling it.
Yeah, you were born with the Sun Pluto conjunction, and so it's been whooping you for 2 or 3 years now. And is finally, you are just coming out of some really tough transits. You still got Mars going back and forth over your Venus. Your Venus has got some aspects it's working on for a while here. But my goodness, you've gotten Saturn, Jupiter, and Pluto off your Moon-Pluto conjunction. Jupiter's coming up to square it. But you're getting some room to breathe for the first time in a long time. Neptune is finally leaving your Mercury alone. You've got, you know, you're coming out of the woods. And it's, you are. Yeah, you are. You may not feel it till the spring. Yep, I'm absolutely positive. It now, if problems have been set off, you know, when a transit breaks, you know, if the bridge came down in a flood, it's still down until you fix it. You know, if there's were problems that have set off over the last couple of years, you still need to walk out of those problems. But you are, what, four months away from a progressed lunar new moon by progression. So in 4 months, you begin a new 30-year cycle, and you leave this one. You've been letting go and letting go. It's been really hard to start anything, really hard to build up any momentum, right? And you've had to be the grown-up in the room when that's not usually your favorite thing to do, over and over and over again, as Saturn has been squaring your progressed sun. So, you know, you're going to still have to stay, kind of keep growing up and keep moving forward, but your progressed moon is conjuncting the sun in 4 months, and then it's moving into Taurus in 9 months, so everything starts to calm down and settle, and this intense personal karma slogging you've been going through begins to shift, and your work begins to pick up, and your curiosity about the outside world starts to take off. We're talking years here, but it's going
to
happen.
And you're bringing in you're bringing in people similar to the way you did in 2001. You brought a whole bunch of folks in, and you let a bunch of people go back then. So this year is very big for incoming. Like, who's coming in to help me on this next journey, right? And so I always like Saturn going through the second house. He's going to be there for the next 3 years. And that's when we buy a house, get a dog, have a baby, get a job, figure it out. And, of course, when you're doing it now at your age, you've already lived 40 years. So, like, when I had this go through, that was when I shifted out of being in computers into astrology. So I got all new people. I mean, I kept a lot of people from my old.
I would love to.
But I got this whole new life that came from
the work I'd been doing over the last few years. So that work that you've been really working on, it's planting seeds now, and it's all those Capricorn planets are trying to your Saturn in Virgo. So they're saying for the last 10 years, you've been working on stuff. What is it? You're ready to make it grow. You're ready to make it your work. And a lot of times with your chart, it can be a little nervous about doing stuff. I don't want to say experimental, but it can kind of be like, ooh, you know, should I really do that? Because Saturn and Virgo worries. And now it's going to be like, I'm going to do that. You know, you get this affirmative thing, you know. So it's really positive. It's really a positive time coming in. And that new moon,
in
4 months, you're going to feel amazingly fabulous because it then comes right out of the Sun conjunction and it meets your Ceres. What am I going to create? And it meets your Venus. And it's where am I going? And then it pops into your house of creativity and you're off and running. So it's a huge new positive cycle starting.
Okay. Because I do, like what you're saying is resonating. Like I keep your podcast resonated so strongly in terms of just like trying to choose which life and the options. Like I keep thinking about leaving one life, like this film life. Because it just feels like it's work, you know, and I want to learn and I want to be in astrology. Like I love astrology, you know. And I know it's a whole new career, but.
Well, that's through the second is a whole new career, and it is working on, you know, it really is a plant. It's a Taurus time. It's like, what are you fertilizing and planting and growing? And you know, that's a good, and you're a good information. You're a high empath too. You're a Sun Saturn, Sun Jupiter. You know, your Jupiter Saturn midpoint is, you know, on your Pisces Sun, which is a high empath. Plus, you're a Neptune rising, so. You know, you've taken all the work you've done in the last few years, you know, your first 40 years of life, and you've kind of gone, okay. Now, in the old days, we didn't get to be astrologers until we were 40 because you had to have a little seasoning. And so you're ahead of the game. So it's like a forward motion.
Uranus is going back and forth over your Chiron this year. So one of the things that your long journey, the karma slogging, the coming to understand, the tough times, has given you empathy. And as you learn your way out of your own story, you learn how to escort other people out of theirs. You know, because an astrologer constantly has to do their own personal work. They have to grow. They have to be politically, you know, learn as they go along. They have to be psychologically checking themselves and doing their homework all the time. And boy, have you been doing it. Right? It is, you know, so learn astrology. You've got a good house for publishing and writing.
And writing. Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
So with that.
I always hear that, but I'm not into it.
Not
like,
what?
Into it. Like most people see my read my chart, they're like, oh my God, this is a writer's chart. I'm an editor, but I'm a video editor, you know.
Right.
Okay.
Publishing and writing doesn't have to be words.
You
have Mercury retrograde in Pisces. And also Neptune's been sitting on it, so you don't know if you're a writer. But I would say you're a vision, you know, you see visions. If you want to write, you can. Absolutely. But there's nothing in your chart that says you have to. Remember, you've got the ruler of Mercury, which disposes all those planets in your ninth house, is in Pisces, does not so happy with in Pisces, is right connected Sun. The Sun is the ruler of the cusp of your ninth and your north node. So
now
you've got, and they're all in the third house, in the house of understanding and communicating. So communicate however you like to do it. You know, editing video, fabulous use of the Virgo air Pisces group.
It is.
It's just the bullshit that comes with it. That's it, you know.
If it's your own stuff, you're good. And your Mercury now has progressed onto the world point. It's gone direct, so it's zero Aries. So when it gets aspected and woken up in December 22nd by the new cycle starting in the house of how you make your money, you know, let's watch for something to come forward where you go, that sounds like something I might like to do. I mean, I'm good with it being storytelling because so much of our storytelling now is through videos or information or Instagram or TikTok.
I mean, I have a film waiting to get it off, so that's my whole thing. I want to wrap it up and be an astrologer chilling I mean, not chilling, but just, you know, having clients, being relaxed in my home, and just, I just feel like it's more rewarding, you know, rewarding for sure.
And, you know, most of us, I mean, I had a day job until I was in my 50s. I at least part-time work so that if my clients didn't need me, I never needed my clients more than they needed me, that I always knew I was going to eat. And I think that that's a really helpful thing, Digging, like, what's your part-time gig that supports your astrology habit? So you can do astrology in a really clean way that you want, just the way you want to.
Right, maybe like an assistant position or something that's like, I just don't want to deal with, like, all the political, like, it's just been really intense work-wise.
Remember, it's going to get a little bit easier when that Pluto stops talking to your chart so much.
Yeah, and it is teaching you a lot about power. Right, you've had your Pluto square, Pluto square, Pluto. You come out of it and you go, "Oi, I never want to do that again." But boy, did I learn a lot! And you really do. You come away from a Pluto transit with a new way of looking at the world. You know, it really gives you a different set of eyes. So your congratulations, you're done with it. We can applaud and say, "Yes, you finished.
Yay!
You finished. You're good." And now what?
Yes. Good.
Now what?
And now our show is over, so we have to say goodbye. But good luck.
Thank you for all the time. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome.
That was great.
Thank
it's
you.
It's your Pluto
thank
transit.
You.
We're giving you Pluto's story. Yay, you know, right?
Yay.
Transformation.
Thank you so much.
You're hatching.
Awesome.
Okay.
Take care.
Awesome. All right. So Ann Orley signing off from the Bright Red Desk. We didn't have a Mark appearance today, but
no. And Heather Owen Robin coming up. And Mark said that he was going to be out of town today, so he'll be back.
Oh, okay. I missed that email. I'm very behind in my emails. I'm not sure Mercury retrograde is going to allow me even to catch up, but I'm going to try.
Amen.
So we wish you all a good week. We wish you to watch for the ghosts to appear, because Mercury retrograde always brings the ghosts back. And they come in and they go, "Hi, can I talk to you?" And you go, "Really? You want to talk to me? You're going to be nice this time, ghost?" And if they're not nice, don't talk to them. But if they're nice, you know, give them a listen. So...
Mm-hmm.
Good. Wishing everybody a wonderful week.
Yeah, take care.
All right. Bye.
Goodbye.